hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
But in almost every story across the pages of the Old and the New Testament of the Bible, wherever there was a movement of sudden breakthrough where God showed up powerfully in someone's life, it almost always came after they spent some time waiting for that breakthrough. Abraham and Sarai spent decades waiting for their promised child. The disciples, like John talked about last week, waited in the upper room in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come and give them power from on high. And even Jesus himself waited 30 years before he began his earthly ministry. Behind every story of a suddenly in the Bible, there is someone who's been waiting upon God to see it happen. And sometimes they're waiting a few days, a few weeks, or a few decades, but there is always some kind of waiting involved. But after the waiting, when God breaks in, the Spirit comes, the giants fall, the dead are raised, the sick are healed, and the promises are fulfilled, because the suddenly of God is a moment in time where the things that once seemed impossible are now possible. And this morning, I want to go on a journey with you and explore some stories about waiting on God and take a look at how people who were transformed not only by the sudden breakthrough of God's power, but also how they were transformed by waiting and trusting in God for that power to appear. And I want to explore two different ways that I believe waiting on God transforms us. First, I believe waiting helps us to trade our strength for God's strength. And second, I feel that waiting teaches us how to be dependent upon God. And I'm here to tell you, the suddenly of God is worth waiting for, because God can do more through your waiting than you could ever do through a lifetime of trying in your own strength. So if you've got your Bible with you this morning, go ahead and turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 5. So we're going to be looking at a really great story of how waiting on God helps us to trade our strength for God's strength. And this is a story of an amazing suddenly of God that just so happens to be told through the eyes of a guy who also just so happens to have a pretty amazing first name. Just saying. Joshua was the leader of the people of Israel. And God had commanded him to lead the armies of Israel into the promised land and to conquer it completely. Now, Joshua was a man who was well acquainted with waiting upon the Lord. He would rise up early in the morning and he would seek out the Lord for his wisdom and the Lord's direction. And one day, Joshua and his armies are near a fortress city with some pretty formidable walls by the name of Jericho. All of a sudden, Joshua gets a visit from a most interesting man. Let's take a look at what happens, starting in verse 13 of Joshua chapter 5. You'll see that it reads, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.'" Now, it must have been clear to Joshua straight away that this was no ordinary soldier holding this sword. He refers to himself as the commander of the Lord's army. And when Joshua asks him whose side he's on, he gives a very curious answer. It's almost as if Joshua hasn't quite asked the right question. The man says, "Neither side." Perhaps the real question here wasn't so much whether this man was on Joshua's side, but whether or not Joshua was on the side of the Lord. There must have also been something about this man that made it somewhat difficult to stay standing in his presence, because the story continues by saying, "Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for his servant?' The commander of the Lord's army replied, 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy.' So Joshua did." Now, that statement gives us a little bit of a hint of who this man might be. Because when people are instructed to take their shoes off to stand on holy ground, it is in the presence of God himself. And when God shows up in person and starts to talk, it's usually a good idea to pay attention to what he says. In chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. And then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men.'" Notice that in God's kingdom, the victory is declared before the battle is fought. "March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout, and then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will give up. Everyone can go straight in." Now, granted, I am no military strategist, but if I was planning to conquer a fortified city, marching around it for 7 days and blowing some horns is probably not going to be my first plan of attack. I mean, this is a strange command, and it would have sounded really strange to Joshua and his soldiers. I mean, what good is marching around a city supposed to do? Are we going to scare them with the trumpets? I mean, if we had some tambourines, maybe. But no, it's just crazy. How is that supposed to bring down the wall? Wouldn't it make far more sense to simply attack the city? But God wasn't wanting Joshua and the armies of Israel to try to follow him in their own strength. Rather, God was wanting to teach them to wait upon him to show up with his. You've got to love Joshua. He doesn't even hesitate, but responds immediately to the Lord's command. In verse 6, he says, "So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, 'Take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it.' And he ordered the army, 'Advance, march around the city, with an armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord.' And when Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time, trumpets were sounding, but God had commanded the army, 'Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day that I tell you to shout. And then shout.'" So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. And then the army returned to the camp and spent the night there. So in this situation, instead of doing the thing that made sense and trying to attack the city of Jericho, Joshua and his armies were doing something different. Instead of trying to take the city in their own strength, they were waiting upon God to demonstrate his. When God leads us to wait upon him, it doesn't mean that we are supposed to just sit around and wait for something to happen. You notice that these guys, they were pressing in. This was active waiting. In verse 12, "Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. And so on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp." And they did this for 6 days. I mean, put yourself in the shoes. Imagine that you're one of these soldiers marching around the city and blowing your little trumpet. Maybe the enemy soldiers on top of the wall are shouting at you and hurling insults at you. Maybe it's, you know, hot out and it's all right for the first few days, but then it's like day 5, day 6, and this is just getting a little bit ridiculous. But then the dawn breaks on the 7th day, and all of that waiting pays off. In verse 15, it says, "On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city.' We jump down to verse 20, and you see that it says, when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. Everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. 7 days of waiting and marching in the hot sun around a seemingly impenetrable fortress, and then the walls came crashing down without Joshua or his soldiers so much as swinging a sword. I love this story because it is a great example of how waiting on God helps us to trade our strength for his strength. If Joshua and his soldiers had tried to make the heavily fortified city, tried to take the heavily fortified city of Jericho, they might have tried and tried and tried, and maybe eventually they may have succeeded. But instead, they waited upon God, and instead they got to see the suddenly break in and do what they could not do. And this they saw firsthand, that the suddenly of God was worth waiting for, because God could do more through their waiting than they could do in even a lifetime of trying and their own strength. Another way that God transforms us in that place of waiting is by teaching us to depend upon him. Now, I experienced this firsthand in my own life through one of the most bizarre and overtly supernatural experiences of my short 27 years here on earth. Now, this is the true story of one of my childhood friends and how God showed up suddenly as the literal father of lights, which will make sense to you in just a few moments. So I had this childhood friend that I grew up with. We were really close. And when I was about 15, I met Jesus for the first time. And I was really, really excited to share my faith with all of my friends. And you know, my life had been totally turned upside down in the best way by Jesus, and so I wanted to share this joy with others, and surely they would want to experience it too, right? Doesn't always work out that way. So I tried many times to have conversations with this friend of mine about God, but always seemed to sort of fizzle out. Now, looking back, I was a little bit young in the faith. I may have come across a little bit strong, especially when I decided that my friend would be convinced of his need for Jesus by hearing me speak in tongues. You can imagine my surprise then when my Shakama Hyundais seemed to drive him further from the faith, not pull him in. But I really wanted this friend to experience what I had experienced. And so at one point, I just decided that no matter how much I shared with him, nothing was going to change in his heart unless God showed up and changed his heart from the inside out. And so instead of trying to constantly talk my friend into the kingdom, I decided to try a little bit of prayer instead. Now, let me tell you, prayer is one of the fastest ways to let go of your own strength and pick up God's strength, because you wouldn't think that you could accomplish that much by talking into the air. But God will amaze you time and time again at just how over and above he will do things when you ask for his help. So I started praying for this friend and waiting on God to do what I could not do. So I waited, I prayed, I waited some more. And though I did not realize it at the time, the first sign of the answer to my prayer arrived while I was driving home one warm Michigan night. So I'm driving along in my car, and I notice that one of the street lights up ahead suddenly turns off. Didn't think anything of it, just figured the light bulb had burned out. The next night, it happens again in a completely different part of town. And I thought to myself, what are the chances of me being lucky enough to see two different streetlights burn out, two nights in a row? Maybe I should get a lotto ticket. Then it started to get even stranger. It went from happening once a day to three times, four times, five times a day. And it wasn't just streetlights either. It actually, sometimes it was the road signs that were lit up on the side of the road. And I would actually see them up ahead, and as I'd get close, they would turn off, and then It got even freakier, you guys. I would look in the rearview mirror and I would watch them turn back on as I went past. And so I started to get a little bit freaked out, if I'm honest. You know, I started off kind of skeptical, and I kept trying to think of rational explanations for why the streetlights in my hometown were turning off and on. But after a few weeks of this, I was actually really, truly starting to question whether or not God was trying to speak to me through the electrical grid of my hometown. And, you know, I wasn't really sure if light bulbs being snuffed out was exactly the sort of message that you want to get from God. You know what I mean? Like, was I just one more sin from being snuffed out myself? So it was a little stressful, and I did actually ask my pastor about it, and he admitted that he could not think of any relevant scriptures for my situation. But he did pray for me and told me to stay on God's good side, which I'm pretty sure he was only half joking. And so these streetlights and these road signs continue to turn off as I get close, and then they turn back on once I'm past them. And at one point, one of my church friends suggested that, oh, maybe it's like they've got little motion detectors on them, and that turns them on and off as you go by. And so I thought, oh, I guess it's possible. Well, then the next day, instead of turning off, I kid you not, these road signs and streetlights started flashing with different patterns as if God was saying, hello, it's not motion detectors. So at this point, I finally came to accept that the only explanation left besides the Illuminati was that God was turning these lights on and off, but I still didn't know why he would be doing such a thing. So fast forward, I'm hanging out one night with my childhood friend that I was telling you about, one that I have now been waiting and praying for. And we're driving around my town, and he's looking out the window as we're driving around, and he's noticing that these streetlights are just acting up. Some of them are turning off, some of them are flashing. And so he just, like any of us would, right? He just comments, says, oh, that's really strange what's happening with the streetlights. And I said, yeah, sorry about that. This just sort of happens around me. He's like, it just sort of happens around you. What are you talking about? And so I start to explain to him this whole journey that I've just explained with you. And I finish off by telling him that I believe that God speaks sometimes in some pretty mysterious ways, and I believe he still is speaking today. And so my friend, he's quiet for a long time. And then after a moment, he says, that is the most amazing thing I've ever heard. And he starts to ask me questions about God. This is the first time that he's ever opened up. And we actually end up driving around my hometown for like 2 hours as we're having these deep conversations about who God is, about faith. And the whole time, these lights, every 10 minutes or so, we're passing one and they're turning off or they're flashing, whatever kind of weird Morse code God was trying to communicate with us with. And so then I said, hey, today is Saturday night. I'm actually planning to head off to church tomorrow. Do you want to come stay the night at my house? We can stay up, we can keep talking, and then you can come to church with me tomorrow. He's like, yeah, I think I would like that. So I said, great. So we go back to his place, and he goes inside to get his stuff for the overnight, and I'm sitting out in the car, and I am just interceding for him. I am like, Lord, you have brought this moment of breakthrough. Don't let it pass without change. And so I'm sitting out there, about 5 minutes goes by, and then my friend comes out with his sleeping bag and his backpack, and he sits down in the car, and he's just really pale looking. I said, is everything okay with you? He said, I went inside my house. I went to go downstairs into the basement. I turned on the light. I took 2 steps, and the light turned off by itself. He said, this is the wildest thing that has ever happened to me. So, next day, took my friend to church with me, and at the end of the service, he went up to the front and asked the pastor to pray with him because he wanted to become a Christian. Now, here's the thing. I spent a lot of time trying to talk my friend into the kingdom. But it wasn't until I decided that I would wait on God to bring the breakthrough in the right timing and in the right way that I actually had a chance to see the suddenly of God on display for myself. And I had to wait for that suddenly to come. But by choosing to trust God with the timing, I learned that I could depend on God and that He will do above and beyond what you could ask or imagine if you're willing to wait for Him to move in the right timing and the right way. After all, the suddenly of God is worth waiting for because God can do more through your waiting than you could ever accomplish in a lifetime of trying in your own strength. Would you guys stand with me? And just have the band come back on up. You know, it can be encouraging to hear stories where God shows up suddenly and knocks down walls that we could never climb or causes His light to shine in some ways that are pretty unexpected. But what about the situations where God hasn't shown up yet and you're still in that place of waiting? Maybe you're here this morning and you are waiting for something. Maybe you've been waiting for a long time for that business that you've been working so hard at to finally take off. Maybe you're waiting for your son or your daughter to come back to the faith. Maybe you have promises that God has spoken to you that are yet to be fulfilled, and you're starting to wonder, if you're honest, if you'll ever see them. And whatever you might be waiting for, what I want to encourage you with this morning is that the suddenlies of God are worth waiting for, and when they happen, they are amazing. But there is also some gold to be found in that place of waiting as well. Waiting can be hard. It can even sometimes feel like suffering. But the book of Romans tells us that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And maybe you've left your hope behind somewhere along in your waiting. And perhaps this morning, this could be a chance for you to start to believe again that the impossible is still possible as long as God is still on the case.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.